Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And they're giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure to use code KSN. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of our show. That means it is time to ask T-Frank. This is where we take your questions submitted through the app. We give those questions to T-Frank, and he shares his knowledge. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN polo shirt. Not only that, if you send us a question right now to the Ask T-Frank segment, you'll automatically be entered to win a chance for an RV from GoPSURV.com for the Penn State-Indiana game. That's coming up in a few weeks. And there are still a few RVs available for the Ball State game. If you're interested, make sure you give Mark a call at 800-519-8467. T-Frank, are you ready for your questions?
Ready to go.
All right, let's start with Brad from Harrisonburg, Virginia, who says, which player away from the ball or whose name the announcers did not say made the biggest impact on that game?
Oh, that's an interesting question. We talked a lot about PJ Mustipher. He had 10 tackles. I think a lot of people generally overlook nose tackles in generally. Maybe Nick Tarburton. As far as he was a steady force and he did his job exceptionally well, but wasn't getting a lot of praise as far as, recognition during the game. He, being on that front side, they did a great job of shutting down front side runs quite a bit. Most of the stuff that Wisconsin got was either to the backside of the strength of the formation intentionally or cutbacks. So I'd say setting the edge, he did a very good job there, and that'd be the guy.
All right, let's go to Clifford in Vestal, New York, who says, hey, T-Frank, after the Wisconsin game, James Franklin said, we knew we had to get the ball on the perimeter, whether that was with outside zone or whether that's even with the bubbles on the perimeter. Can you explain what an outside zone and bubbles on the perimeter are? And you have been a great addition to KSN. Thank you, Cliff.
Well, thank you, Cliff. I appreciate that. Outside zone, we've talked about it a little bit here on the show before. It's a different type of run blocking technique that tries to stress the defense to the perimeter of the field. So you've got your entire offensive line trying to what's called reach block, where they reach over a gap in the system of where you're going to block as the defender. The offense tries to get one ahead of them headed towards a certain point in the field. So you don't block a man necessarily, you block an area. And that stresses the defense horizontally, which can open up cracks for cutbacks and big runs. You saw that with Noah Cain in the fourth quarter, where he was able to make a cutback, get 6 or 7 yards in the middle of the offensive line because the defense had over-pursued to get to the front side to shut all that down. So that's the biggest change under Mike Yurcich, is that offensive system is going to be employed. And when you pair it with the inside zone, the idea is that they all look the same until the running back makes his decision. You know, you have to look at some key things, some more nuanced things to know exactly what's going on. And then bubble screens are just wide receiver screens to the outside of the field, where if you've got three receivers outside, or even just one, and you've got a numbers advantage, so they don't have the receiver on the inside covered by a defender man up, where you've got one guy accounted for each person because they want to put somebody closer to the box. That's a bubble screen where you're trying to take advantage of numbers and space. In the first half, Penn State threw those screens to the short side of the field, which I thought gave Wisconsin an advantage of they're smart and they are aggressive to the football, but they don't have the athletic prowess to stay with those guys in space when you have more grass to play with. In the second half, that's what Penn State did. They went to the field side, the longer side of the field, and made more plays there. So that's what they did in the second half to take advantage of numbers, space, and then their athleticism to the boundary.
All right, next up we have Jay in Delaware who says, great win against Wisconsin, but oh my God, Clifford is horrible. Missing badly on wide open receivers and staring them down far too often. Are we still operating under the assumption those are correctable through the season under Yursich's tutelage?
No.
Thank you. Love the show and your analysis.
So Clifford is what he is, and I would counter what Jay just said in saying that he is better than he was in the past, where Clifford would never, in a million years, check the ball down in 2019. He was holding on to that thing for dear life. He was going to throw his first read, or he was going to scramble and he was going to throw a deep bomb on, you know, something like that. When he checked the ball down to Noah Kane several times and he evaded pressure and he made the smart decision in a bad situation, that's improvement. It may not be the best thing in the world. It's not going to be the game-changing quarterback. But yeah, that's what you're going to get from Sean Clifford. And I felt like he played within himself. And as much as I hate saying these things, like I said, Sean Clifford is now what he's going to be. We're not going to see a dramatic improvement in his footwork. We're not going to see a dramatic improvement in his accuracy. That may be volatile, and he may go on a run where he just is dealing one game, but he'll miss, you know, we talked about in the first quarter of he'll miss wide open receivers down the field. Jahan Dotson was open all day. I was blinded by the fact he got that open that regularly, and Penn State still struggle to move the ball. So yes, that is a problem, and that is going to continue intermittently. But I think, again, you look at the team and what you saw week one is he's improved in the areas he needed to win football games with Sean Clifford. And I think that is the key part, is that as long as that maintains and he gets incrementally better in some areas, you can win football games with Sean Clifford. Again, when we're talking about Ohio State, we're talking about the tough games, those one or two or three plays. I don't know. He might, again, you can get hot. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, so literally anything is possible.
Oh, jeez. And a random shot at Nick Foles. T. Frank, one of the things, as a fan, you look at it and you see there are plays where his footwork's not good. He's throwing off his back foot. Doesn't happen
but
every time.
I'll say this, he hit plays. Yeah. So he's found a way, and this is one of those things where there's the right way to do it, and then there's the way that you do it. And I agree, his footwork is not good. He's throwing off his back foot, but he has found a way. The Keandre Lambert-Smith pass, that was 52 yards, it was on the money, and he was throwing off his back foot. He did not have proper mechanics of rocking off his back foot, stepping forward, the traditional motion. He didn't have those on a lot of those plays, and yet he did throw for 257 yards or something like that, and he did make plays down the field. So he has found a way to be accurate within that. And I guess that's kind of the thing, is there are subtle improvements, but it's never going to be what you want. So then it becomes, adjust your expectations. He's not going to be Joe Burrow this year, as we've joked about before.
Well, the one big plus, though, was you didn't see the really... He missed some passes, obviously, but he didn't make that huge blunder. He didn't fumble. He didn't throw the interception. To me, that's still a huge improvement. And if we just get that going forward, that's a huge help over what we saw last year. All right, let's go to Dave in Pennsburg, who says, T. Frank, it's clear that all facets of Penn State's offense need to play better, but which one specifically needs to improve the most if Penn State is truly going to compete against Ohio State for the Big East title? Can any part of this offense develop to the point that Ohio State will have trouble defending it?
Yeah, the offensive tackles. So they, like I said, they were not good in the first half, and Caden Wallace still got beat a couple times because he's a right tackle. He was recruited as a guard. He moved out to right tackle. He's physically imposing, but I still think he kind of has right tackle feet. And he did a good job, and when he sets right and he can quick set and all those things, he's a good player. So he can win. He can be a solid tackle tandem with Rashid Walker. So if they improve and there's plenty of clean pockets for Clifford to operate from, and Clifford learns to check the ball down, go through his progressions, which he did on Saturday. So that's another thing of you've got to give credit where credit's due of just because everything wasn't a deep bomb that was a touchdown, there were good plays underneath to Noah Kane and some checkdowns that I thought were good plays. So they give him those opportunities. Penn State can deal downfield because Mike Yurcich can dial up at the right time good play calls that make the defense bust. And so if the offensive line, especially the tackles, they hold up and they improve this season, and Rashid Walker, Caden Wallace, they hit their upside, then yes, there's a chance that this team could go toe-to-toe with anybody with the receivers they have. Because we saw, again, yesterday, it may not be the most Saturday, may not be the most talented secondary, but that was a good secondary, and they just shredded Wisconsin.
All right, next up is Brad from Perkasy, and Brad says, T-Funk. Yes, your nickname is back and sticking with you, and he's sticking you with picking against Penn State last week. Brad says, I heard the broadcasters call Mike Yurcich's offense an air raid. Is this true? And what needs to happen for the running backs to show up? We had zero or negative rushing yards at halftime. All right, so what do you think, T-Funk?
Well, I resent the statement and the question in general. So, Brad, you're not winning this week. I'm just going to say that now. It's not an air raid. But we throw around terms like that quite often. An air raid is Mike Leach. It's Cliff Kingsbury when he first got to the NFL. What you do is you're running vertical patterns consistently, trying to put the defense into a cheat code position of just throwing the ball on every single play. Now, he's an aggressive downfield play caller, but he does want to run the football. And to me, that was the problem in the first half, is he was running the ball on first down, the first play of every drive, and Wisconsin was ready for it. So I think unpredictability, not trying to establish the run, let the run happen when it happens, that is a way to improve the running game. But they had so few chances to run the ball. And part of that was Wisconsin was doing that intentionally. They're run blitzing. They were not respecting the pass. They're going to put pressure on the offensive line on every play. And if a team is determined to do that, they can do that, especially if they're Wisconsin. I do think you'll see an improvement in the offensive line and the play calling or the run efficiency as we go on, and you're not facing that particular scheme.
All right, we need a winner, and we know it's not Brad from Perkasy. Who is the winner?
I think David Pensberg had a great question about what's the reasonable path to success for this offense.
All right, very good. Dave's the winner. Stick around. In quarter number four, we have Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com looking at the Big Ten. Stay tuned.
DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 or more on any football game. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.